Joining us now here at the Chicago Board of Trade, Steve Bruce, an independent grain trader, used to be with Illinois Grain and General Mills, and has been on the floor trading as an independent for how long, Steve?
Well, basically, I've been on the floor since 1974 as a runner in many capacities, and I've been a broker on the grain floor since 1981, but I just went independent last 6 months ago.
And you're trading in the wheat and the corn pits, and it seems to me that an independent in the wheat pit in the last month and a half would have to be a heck of a rough ride.
It's been vicious. I mean, it's turning out the same way in corn and beans as well. I like to call the funds right now the blind monsters, the guys that just come in here and roll people over. They've got more money than they know what to do with, and they look at line A crossing line B, and the blind monsters get their signals and they just buy, and they don't know what they're buying sometimes or selling what they're doing. They just do it, and you better not get in their way because they are very powerful. More dollars than bushels is how I like to look at it. And, you know, my background is cash grain, and there's a lot of us that are ex-cash grain traders that recently in the last couple months have seen a disconnect from the cash market and the futures market. But the thing is, it seems that we always come back to reality when we come back, when we come down to deliveries. At least the spreads do. The wheat spreads over the course of the last 2 months, there's a lot of guys that lost a lot of money because we all know the situation on soft red wheat, specifically in Toledo. We do have a lot of soft red wheat around. We're not going to lose the soft red wheat this year. Carry should stay fairly wide, but we did see a lot of guys that were overextended, and we saw for example, the Dease March wheat spread one day last month trade 12-cent premium to the March one day, and the same day trade a 12-cent carry. That's vicious, and right now the spread's trading at 19.5-cent carry as we approach first notice day. So we have seen some very, very, very different market forces at work here that have really jarred the market. So, and the thing is, I did just listening to your previous guest talking about the feeder cattle market, the cattle market. One thing we're doing in the corn market right now is we've got a lot of people euphoric, thinking that ethanol is just basically going to keep this market going to $4, $5, and we can't grow enough corn next year. But one thing I do look at is we are seeing, you know, corn is a feed. And when you add 6 billion bushels of corn domestically and everything we export, I presume, is going to be used for feed, you've got the majority, 75% of the corn crop, used for feed. And when the chicken guys, the hog guys, the cattle guys, the dairy guys are starting to lose and hemorrhage money, I think you're going to start, it's human nature that these guys are going to start looking around saying, why should we suffer when everyone's making, all the ethanol producers are making all this money, it's subsidized. So I think after the election, after tomorrow, you're going to start seeing some more and more people talk about the situation, specifically with ethanol. I don't think we're going to see anything change in the next year or two, but as this, I think we'll see some changes made to that to ethanol subsidies within the next 2 years.
When you take a look at the marketplace, and you can talk about a shift in paradigms. They talked about that a little bit in the 70s with the price rise, in the 80s, in the 1990s when they went to really booming prices. And there's again a talk about a shift in paradigm for the corn and the wheat markets in terms of, well, the new paradigm will not be $2.25 or $2.40 corn, but it'll be $2.80, $2.90, $3.10, $3.20 for corn. Can you see that happening as a pit trader?
Oh, sure, definitely. Yet, I think you just hit it on the nose. We heard the same thing in the 70s. Plant fence row to fence row. Russia needs our food. We're going to get the Middle East of all the oil producers. We're going to have a bushel of wheat for a barrel of oil. That was the 70s. In the 80s, we heard some of the same thing, and then we had to have the pick, you know, payment in kind year. And then in the 90s, we had the hedge to arrive debacle on corn. We had the fact that we didn't have any wheat when we went up to $7.50 in Chicago. And yet, you know, we always seem to gravitate back toward $2.40 on corn, $3.60 on wheat. We have to remember that the world's a very small place right now. You are going to see people respond, not just us, but you have Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, some very fertile regions that really have never seen prices like this. They're going to respond. So my advice to my clients, my farm clients is, you know, you look at $3.50 new December corn, you better have 40% sold, because the thing is, you can't be greedy. At the $3.50, you might see $5, you might see $10. Who knows? Yet historically, it always seems that we come back quicker than we think.
Well, are you concerned at all that the Board of Trade will disconnect with the cash price on that, given the amount of money that the funds are putting into the CBOT and the Mercantile Exchange?
Basically, we have seen that in the short run, okay? And we saw that happen in natural gas last year when we had Texas natural gas it trading $1.25 per 100 or whatever their increment is, and we saw the futures in New York get to $15 but then and stay there for 4 months. Then all of a sudden, you know, we went back down to $4 or $5, and we saw a lot of guys lose a lot of money. Arithmetic lost $6 billion, so on and so forth. You can fool the market only so long. I mean, I think eventually we have to remember, the main user of corn right now is losing money. The feeders, they're losing money. That's not – and the thing is, they're not going to lose money forever. They're going to go out of business. So that corn demand is going to slip away. Maybe not this year. You're going to see a transition next year, and you'll definitely see, you know, unless the consumer wants to pay double the price for beef, for chicken, or whatever, you're going to see the market shift back.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today. Steve Bruce is an independent trader here at the Chicago Board of Trade. We're broadcasting to you live from the CBOT building on the south end of LaSalle Street. Today's broadcast, of course, made possible with support from Midwest, First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information available from Bob Bastifer in Danville. First Midwest Bank, FDIC, an equal housing lender. Joining us now, another trader from the Chicago Board of Trade, an old friend, I hope, at WIL. Hasn't been on the air with us at Commodity Week for a long time, but I hope that we get that fixed. Vic Lespinos, another independent trader. Good afternoon to you, Vic.
Good afternoon to you.
You've been on the floor of the Board of Trade for how many years now?
34 years.
How is this year different than any of the previous times where you saw the market really start to boom?
Well, the funds are more active than ever before, for one, including the index funds. They're the newest kid on the block. And, of course, they only trade from the long side. So that is one difference. And, of course, the market is much bigger now. Even on slow days, we do a lot more business than we did in the past. Just last week, we had a record day volume-wise in corn. We had it was over 400,000 contracts, and we had a record day for the grains in general, over 1 million contracts in one day. And that's never, ever happened before.
Is this, in your mind, I know it's probably good for the board, but is it good for the market in the long run to have that much trade running through the board on any given day?
I think it is. It's more liquidity. That means hedgers can do whatever they need to do without fear of influencing the market. It means the market is deeper, more liquid, and more, it's more accessible to everybody now than it ever was in the past. A lot of people now, they sit at their computer, they point and click and trade that way. And, of course, you can trade electronically now, something you could never do until August 1st. I think that's a big advantage for people also. It's instant fills, instant cancellations, instant order changes. I think it's a good thing.
In your experience, and this is the question I know most farmers will want to ask, and a lot of traders, do you believe that corn can surpass the $4 level in the coming 6 to 9 months?
I think so. When I first started in the business, 1972, beans were about $3.50. And the big question was, can they get past $4? Here it is, 2006, soon to be 2007, and now the question is, can corn get there? If ethanol demand continues to grow, and today crude oil was up $1 a barrel or thereabouts, so if ethanol demand remains strong, I think eventually corn could get to that level. In September, the USDA's chief economist, Keith Collins, said it's going to an all-time high, which means it's going to at least $5.30 a bushel. So, you know, I think if Keith Collins says that, who am I to argue?
Would you take an opposite tack maybe than Steve Bruce? And I'm not sure about an opposite tax, but you mentioned that beans were below $4, and now, of course, they're above that. Are you of the mindset that this market will change what the trading range for corn might be and raise that up $1 or a half a dollar or 80 cents?
If the price of crude oil remains strong, I think things are going to change. But that's a big assumption. Crude oil sold off about $20 a barrel from its highs several months ago. And who's to say that it couldn't sell off even more? So assuming crude oil remains very strong, I think things will continue to change, and I think that means more to the upside in the grains.
Is there any lack of information that the members of the Board of Trade or that those who are in the floor on the pits have that they don't know about that you think that they would be better off with? Do they not hear enough about what's happening in the cash grain market? Do they not hear enough about what yields are like? What are the things that you might lack and you'd like to know about, more about from the field or the furrow that you don't hear about here in Chicago?
Well, you don't hear a lot about the cash market on the floor, but those people that are interested in the cash market can certainly find out about it. They can talk to people. They can read the wires. There are stories about the cash market. They can talk to contacts with cash grain companies that are on the floor. So one can find out what one needs to know. But a lot of traders just trade by feel. Others trade by charts. Some are pure fundamentalists. I mean, it runs the gamut. There's all different kinds of traders. Whatever works for you, that's what you should use. So you get the information that you need depending on what kind of trader you are. If you're a scalper, just trying to buy the bid and sell the offer all day, what the cash market's doing doesn't really make all that much difference.
We appreciate you being with us today, Vic. You have one more comment, sure.
I'm not independent, though. I'm with A.G. Edwards in St. Louis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong set of information. Thank you much. We appreciate it. Vic Lespinos with A.G. Edwards in St. Louis. We appreciate your time today.